Welcome to Living Life in the Anne, for the woman who is set on getting everything she effing deserves. I am your host, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes, your best life transformation strategist. I help women to get everything they desire and deserve in life by equipping them with powerful strategies for immediate implementation to achieve fulfillment. Because life is too long to live unfulfilled. It's time. Girl, it's time. It's time for you to get everything you desire and deserve. It's time for you to live your life on purpose and to live a life of fulfillment, meaning, and joy. It's time. It's time for you to walk boldly in the power of your decisions. Because girl, if you're going to be in this world, you need to be fulfilled in this life. Life is too long to live unfulfilled. Join me for another episode of Living Life in the End, where you learn how to achieve fulfillment and commit to completing all the desires of your heart. And now for another installation of our Living Lita series, where you'll get to hear from women who are living life in the end on their own terms. The Living Lita series gives valuable insight on how women can have it all. I will have poignant conversations with great women doing great things in their own way. These women will be on every continuum of the spectrum: housewives, skill workers, professionals, and executives, women who are living life in the end. Not only is this a great conversation, but we're going to get some insight on what a successful life means to the modern day woman. We'll get up close and personal on how these women are living their lives in the end. Are you ready? Are you ready to live life in the end and get everything you desire and deserve in life? Stick around as we hear from another Living Lita. Hey, it's your girl, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes, and it's time for another episode of Living Life in the End, Living Litas. You know, it's hard to operate in the end when society tries to put us in a box of or. Women constantly face a division of woman or wife, mother, lover, or career woman, rather than the celebration of what I call the Trinity of Woman, where she is woman and wife, mother, lover, whichever of those buckets she falls in, and career woman, all in one person, one woman, yet many. You know, we must learn to live life in the and. We can't operate in an or and put ourselves in a box. But we have to live our life in the end and truly have it all. The Living Life in the End, Living Lita series helps women to have it all. It's where I have poignant conversations with women doing great things in the world. Women on every continuum of the spectrum, housewives, skilled workers, professionals, and executives, women living life in the end. Not only is this a great conversation, but a quest for the Holy Grail. What does a successful life mean to the modern day woman? We get up close and personal on how these women are living their lives in the end. Are you ready? Are you ready to live life in the end and get everything in life you deserve? Let's get it. I tell you, I am so excited about our guest for today, Janelle Bailey Jones. Girls, when I tell you we are in for a treat, let me let you know who is joining us for the conversation. She is truly a great leader in all realms of leadership. She's a thought leader and skilled strategic planner with 25 years of leadership. She served in the United States Army as an officer while successfully building multiple seven-figure businesses. She has a degree in psychology with a focus on children and master's degree in leadership and business management. And I'll tell you, that has shaped her ability to assist her prodigies with starting their businesses and generating seven figures in less than 3 years. Janelle has transformed her children's businesses into a legacy brand while working full-time in the Army as a single mother. Recently, this momager has stepped out of her role as VP of The Truth Speaks, and you'll learn more about that later, to create Parenting a Prodigy, and she has shifted her focus to helping parents create passive income for their young prodigies. Are you ready for this great conversation? Welcome, Janelle.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Barnes. Oh. I definitely appreciate being here.
Yes, it is so great to be able to speak with you again. I think the last time we got a chance to speak, other than connecting through social media, was over in London. Let's see, three yes. or 4 years ago, huh?
Yes, it's been a little while.
Yes, it has. Well, of course, I am so glad to have you here and living life in the and in the studio, as I say, and so glad to be able to share all of the great things you're doing, because I know you definitely inspired me when I met you over in London. Well, and I know that what you share will inspire others. So, of course, I always like to start out with getting the who, the what, and the why. Now, I've shared your bio, but I want to know, who is the real Janelle? What is it that you do, and why are you living your life in the end?
Okay, great question. I am the light, I am love, and I am peace. That's who I truly am in my authentic self. You can put titles and labels on me, but overall, again, I'm love, life, and love, light, and peace. I love walking in my authentic self, not having to code switch or be somebody else or try to be somebody else or live up to society standard. I've kind of always been just walking in my own path, walking in my own truth. Pun intended.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, that's kind of who I am. What I do, I help parents find their children's natural gift and ability and learn how to monetize it. And then after they learn how to monetize it, we learn how to turn it into passive income. So their children learn how to use their brain instead of their body and always make money. And they can still do all the things that they want to do as young prodigies, whether, you know, be to play sports, open up another business, entertain, whatever that other skill set or desire is, they can do that as well. And they don't have to think about working behind a business and then it becomes a job mm-hmm. versus them being actually a real entrepreneur. They're doing everything themselves. And it becomes very demanding for young young children. So we learn how to monetize and build their brand and then turn it into passive income. So that's kind of and who so, I am, what I do.
Yeah. So what, why do you live your life in the end? Because girl, you are doing it.
Thank you. You know, for me, Stephanie, to be honest with you, I remember having a dream and it was so vivid. Before, I always knew that I wanted my children to be entrepreneurs and have their own business. I never thought that they would be making seven figures at such a young age and be literally running a corporation where they have full-time employees on staff, where they employees have 401ks. Like, it's way beyond what I ever thought. And my children are just now, one of my children, the oldest, is just now getting to high school. So mm-hmm. I literally was thinking something small, like a little hot dog stand, hustling in the summer mm-hmm. outside of Home Depot or Lowe's or, you know, something like that. I wasn't thinking big enough. But as I start getting them more into entrepreneurship and they were thinking so big and their dreams were so big, it literally scared me. When my son said he wanted to own a football team, an NFL team, he's like, Mom, it's only $5 billion. like, what? I was like, apparently I'm not thinking big enough. Like, right. Only 5 billion. Okay, not a problem. I don't even have 5 on that, but okay, we'll figure it out.
So
my dream and vision became more clear of God literally told me, I am the person. He's given me this gift and this mission and this journey to change my family, not just me, like literally thinking 100 years out, generations down. And right now we're in the biggest wealth transfer that we probably won't see for another 100 years. And he told it was my responsibility and my job. And I'm definitely connected with the right people and have the right opportunities. Now it's just for me to execute.
Yes. And I'll tell you, you know, because we've alluded to truth, and truth is her oldest and her son. And I tell you, so I met the two of them in London, and Truth actually, I think, was there for the conference, and it was many presented. And when I heard this young man speak, you know, I felt a little underaccomplished. I'm like, here I am, 40 something years old, all these degrees, such and such, you know, and here is this young man who is so impressive, so articulate, so focused. And I've had a chance to interact with him at conferences since then, when y'all came to Maryland, I think it was.
Yes.
For the Black CEO conference. Yes. And, you know, just to see the impressiveness of this young man and to know that behind that, of course, is his mother, who is a great leader. So we'll, of course, hear more about parenting a prodigy and learning a little bit of her secret sauce and how we can have that same success with our own children. Like you say, really being able to create that generational wealth. I can't wait to get more into that and hear about how to actually bring a dream like that to fruition. So, of course, you have recently retired from the military and have had an illustrative career as an officer in the U.S. Army. Why don't you tell me a little bit about, you know, that and how you have been able to grow and balance all of that with being a mother, being a leader, and being a businesswoman in your own right?
Yeah, so I did 20 years and 21 days, and I retired this year in 2021. So I don't think that's by chance either.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So balancing the military, it was funny, as I was going through my divorce early on, probably about almost 10 years ago now, I was nervous because my children was very young, and I wasn't quite sure how I was going to balance it because it, you know, it's a lot of demands and requirements, especially just getting up doing physical training at 6 a.m. You know, you have to be there at 6. So most daycares don't even open at 6. So it's like, how are you going to get the kids to daycare, do this, do that? And, you know, you're going through all the you know, obstacles in your head, things that you think that are obstacles, but they truly are not. And one of my good coworkers told me, she said, don't worry about it. God always going to send you who you need. And sure enough, I've always had kind of like a big mama that just pops up because we move every 2 years. So you don't have that family environment where you have that extended family of, you know, friends and aunts and grandmothers around you to support you. But thankfully, I was blessed to always have an elder at a new duty station that I didn't know. And they usually approached me and we just became really great friends. And they end up watching my children or helping me out. And it was a couple times I also hired an au pair. I probably had like three or four au pairs. And an au pair is basically just a nanny that lives overseas. And then she comes over here and actually lives in the house with you, which is better than daycare or a nanny, if you ask me, because they live in the house with you. They get to truly know your children. They get to know you, all your pet peeves, you know, your just daily activities, and they can help out because they don't have to just do 40 hours. You don't have to travel. They can go to the grocery store. They can do all your errands. They can cook, clean. They can do everything for you. So when you come home, you can literally sit down and enjoy your family, and you don't have all that, you know, running to go pick them up from daycare before it closed because you got off work late, coming home, having to cook, clean, and, you know, just going through mail and just those daily tasks of just weighing you down where you're just exhausted and you don't have time to really love and show up for your children.
So, right, so it sounds like you have really capitalized on growing a great team. And I know, you know, those women who have been successful at living their life in the and realize early on, as super as you are not superwoman. And it truly takes a team to be able to do everything that it is you desire.
Absolutely. And I wasn't scared to ask for help. A lot of people are so ashamed or afraid to ask for help. And I don't care if it was in my career as an active duty officer or if it's with my children or, you know, whatever area of my life where I need help, I am not afraid to help, ask for help, including mental health, just anything. I will ask in a heartbeat. And I think for me, because a lot of people see you as being strong, being independent, having everything together, a lot of women are scared to ask for help because they don't want to seem weak. They don't want to seem needy. They don't want to seem as if they don't have it all together. They don't want, quote, unquote, people in their business. People are happy to help you and are looking to help you and are wanting to help you if you ask for it.
Right. And I think that's something that as we truly look to embrace the and, being able to do everything that we desire, we can't be afraid to ask for help. And you touched on something that is so important, and that is asking for mental health.
Yes.
Because you've got to have your mind, you've got to have your mind strong. And being afraid to ask for help creates an even larger burden on your mental health.
Correct.
So we have to be willing to do that.
Absolutely.
What would you say, you know, in your 20 years and 21 days, which I think is so cool, your 20 years and 21 days in the military, what would you say was your biggest adventure?
Adventure? I would actually say going over to Europe, living in Germany, and because I had just recently got divorced right before that. So it was the first time I was moving by myself with my children, and I was going to a completely different country. So, but I embraced it all. And so many people told me, Janelle, get out and travel. Do not stay on post because, you know, on post, it's all military. It's all U.S. soldiers. So that's kind of your comfort zone. So many people tell me prior to, and they's like, no, get out and travel. And it was intimidating because, like I said, my children were young and I'm in a new country. So when I'm driving and all the signs are in a different language, or if I get lost and I don't speak the language, when I first got there, having GPS and cell phones, that was completely different. Like over here for us, it's easy just to go in the store, get a cell phone, get it all turned on. You got your GPS. It wasn't like that.
Right.
It worked a little differently. So I would say that was definitely my biggest adventure because I also knew I needed to leave the United States at that time. And I knew that was my son's launching pad. And so as you stated, you and I met over in London.
Right.
I actually put that conference together. So that was my son's stage. He didn't have a stage. He was a speaker, but didn't nobody know him. So I created one for him. So I just wasn't afraid to create opportunities for us and open up doors for ourselves versus waiting on somebody else to give us the opportunity. We created them.
Right. And, you know, just going back to that conference, you know, it was so wonderful to see kind of all of that coming together. And, you know, I knew that you, of course, had a pivotal role in that conference coming to fruition. But I don't think I knew until now, really, that that was your way of creating a platform for your son to launch his speaking career. And, you know, he commanded that stage as if this was like, you know, one of dozens of appearances that he had had rather than this being his first time really having this platform. How did you prepare yourself for just creating something out of nothing?
Well, I knew at that time my son was either 8 or 9 years old. Like I said, I knew he had the skill set and he had the confidence, but because he's so young and nobody knows him, or he's not attached to, you know, it's not whose he is. Because a lot of times we say that in football, sometimes it's not your skill set, it's whose you are. We say that as, you know, your parent or who you're attached to as far as coaches, it's not necessarily your skill set. So we didn't have any names or anybody, you know, backing us to say, oh, that's, you know, quote unquote, Les Brown's grandson, or that's Martin Luther King's grandson. If he would have had that, it would have been doors and opportunities open for him. However, because nobody knows who he is and what he's capable of, I created that platform. And you see, I got at that time the biggest group on social media was Black CEOs. And we had CEOs across the nation and really all over the world. So I knew that platform would create a lot of opportunities for him. So even though I was living in Germany, and I had it in London because they speak English and I knew I'd be able to communicate with them more effectively. I also reached out because my son is a certified Les Brown speaker. I reached out to people that were also certified Les Brown speakers over in London, and I had them help me sell tickets and find the venue and things of that nature, because I didn't know London and I didn't live over there. I lived in Germany, but I knew I needed London stage because they spoke English, and I knew I could communicate and build a community and a base over there.
Right. And, you know, and I love, you know, just listening to, there's so many themes that I hope people hear when they just listen to you describing creating this platform. You know, you reached out to your connections. It, you know, you were in one country and was able to create a platform in another because, again, you weren't afraid to ask for help, and you were innovative in being able to create a network in a place where you knew no one. And that is something that many times we are afraid to do. You know, you talked about people staying on the post because that's your comfort zone, rather than getting out there and traveling and learning new places and risking getting lost and, you know, being able to literally expand your territory, to literally creating a platform where there is none, because you're unafraid to make those connections and help those connections, or allow those connections to make additional connections that get you to where you desire. So, you know, after that conference, you know, you create this platform for your son. And like I say, he showed up as if he had been in on several stages and had his own platform, you know, even though this was his literal launching point. But after you were able to create this platform, how did you leverage that launch to then take him to the next level?
We were able to leverage the launch based on the network inside of that platform, because we had people that were movers and shakers that were already on big stages. And so now that they saw him, and we also did it live, where it was streaming live. So it was recorded. So now, you know, again, we have his presentation recorded. We were able to upload it on social media, and also just the network that was there, because the people that were there, again, were already on big stages. So now we're, we're able to network with them because now they've seen them live in person. It's not just me writing a resume or sending a one sheet or saying what my son can do. They knew his capabilities. And they also seen so much potential in him as a young man, especially as a young Black male. They knew when he's on stage, it's different from hearing it from an adult. When you hear what he's speaking about, which is goals and financial literacy, and he's bringing it from his perspective as a child, but being able to articulate and communicate with his audience and get that feedback and get that energy in the room. And whether it's an adult, they're going to be inspired, because like, wow, I need to do that with my children or grandchildren. And then when it's children, they're like, he's just like me. If he can do it, I can do it. So I think his impact is so huge, and everybody saw that potential and knew we needed that, and we needed more brown boys to see their peers. It was easy for a lot of doors and opportunities to be open. And so we were able to leverage the people that was there in the room, their platforms, and be able to get on stage after stage after stage after that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk about how him being a young man, he was, what, 8 or 9 at that time, I guess. I hesitate always to put the word little boy and truth in the same sentence, because I don't know that at that point he was like a man in a youth's body, just given his maturity and just the way he showed up. So it's just a foreign concept to use those terms, even though he was literally a 8 or 9 year old. But, you know, not only did he inspire children, him being able to show up with such greatness at that young age was an inspiration also to adults. Because I know for me personally, I'm like, well, I'm not about to let this young man outdo me. You know, he is taking advantage of this. And it really made me, not in a just petty competitive way, but just like, wow, you know, here's this young man. He knows what he wants at 8 and 9 years old. You know, certainly I can take the risk. If he can, I can. And so it was really from an inspirational perspective, being able to see him so enthusiastic and so willing to learn and so ready to expand his territory, enlarge his territory. I always like to use that. And it was inspirational, I know, to me as an adult. And then seeing him in other contexts, it's been inspirational to other adults. So, you know, just thinking about, you know, the success he had there and where it has taken him to now, I think this is a great segue into really understanding what parenting a prodigy is all about. So why don't you share a little bit about, you know, how you have taken the success that you have been able to garner with your two prodigies and to translate that into a platform to help other parents do the same.
Okay, yes, definitely. So we spoke about my son, The Truth Jones. I also have a daughter, Bailey Love. She's also an author, a speaker, an aspiring makeup artist, and an actress. She also is the vice president of a nonprofit agency, which is my son's nonprofit, but she pretty much runs it. And so she's also one of his full-time employees. And so I try to intertwine my children because, of course, Kristen The Truth Jones, I had to say his full name because I didn't say it at first. Sorry. My son, he is, you know, I didn't want to leave her out. And so I said, how can I, you know, he's already kind of had the light, had all the shine. We were practicing so many times, writing his speeches, practicing his speeches. Plus, he's an athlete. And he wasn't just a athlete. He was an All-American. He was an All-Defensive American in football. So he had so much shine and so many people always uplifting him and, you know, supporting him. And then we have her who's always tagging along. So I was able to look at her skill set and say, how can I monetize her skill set inside of what he's doing and have them work together as a team and build their empire together so they understand teamwork, understand that this really is a team within our family and we're building legacy and we all play a part in this. And she's not just, you know, it's not like where you have some families where you got the standout, then the other kids, people don't even know about them. I wanted to intertwine her skills with what he already had going on. So she makes all his merchandise for his brand as well, because she makes shirts, rhinestone foil and glitter shirts. And so she's able to sell her products because he has a big fan base. So she get paid on that end, but she also runs his admin. So when people order books and things of that from his website, she sends all that out, send thank you letters out. And so that's how he pays her and how she helps him on her payroll. But then she still has her own business and can still focus on her own brand and make her own money and feel just as value and as important and understand her brightness and her responsibility to the family and building our legacy together as a team. So parenting a prodigy, I basically teach parents the seven pillars that I share with them on how to take their kid's gift and monetize it. And it's not necessarily you have to do a whole bunch of work. Sometimes we think about entrepreneurship and we think about all the small details of what we have to do, and it seems so overwhelming, or we're so intimidated about getting started, when to be honest with you, your kids probably are already doing it for free. You're just not getting paid for it.
Right. You know, and I love how you really looked to leverage the synergy between your children's talents. You know, one, the truth is talented in this arena, but Bailey is also talented in her arena, but you were able to, like you say, intertwine those things and find a synergy where there was a space for each. And that's so important as well when you're trying to balance finding a place for everyone in your family, and or just looking for ways to leverage the synergy. And, you know, that is, I love how intentional you are, were, and still are in, like you say, making sure that she didn't get left out and she had an opportunity to shine too, because, you know, you have two stars, honestly. You have two children who have really great contributions to make. And what would we have all missed out on if you had not been able to help Bailey find her way to shine as well? So I just commend you on that, because I think that is so wonderful as a mother. And it just shows the intentionality you had in making sure that both of your stars could have their place to shine. So tell us more about these seven pillars and how you help parents to put those into action to monetize their children's gifts.
Sure. So a lot of it is more so, I think we overlook understanding and loving, I mean, learning our children's love language. We speak about it when we speak about maybe romantic relationships, but we don't think about it when we think, you know, necessary as far as our children. I know what keeps Christians motivated, inspired, and wanting to do more, and how I inspire him and coach him and train him in business is not the same way I can coach and train Bailey. So understanding their love language and how you can communicate with them more effectively, so it's not a tug and pull, as you know, we know children, they'll wake up today and want to be a fireman, right, and then tomorrow wake up and want to be, you know, playing the NFL. So right. To kind of keep them focused and keep them in love and inspired. So we talk about their love language, because a lot of people, when they come to me, they're like, hey, I want to get to the bag. How can I help my children make seven figures? Like, what do I need to do? But if you don't do all the small steps, the communication, the love language, the leadership skills, and you don't talk about and touch on all those and really put them in place, when you get to the money, they probably are going to mess it up anyway.
Yes.
Because they don't have the foundation.
Right. Because, you know, that's something that I always wonder about. Because, you know, of course, when you look in the news, you see, you know, so many stories of child prodigies who basically are stars that burn out because seemingly perhaps they don't have that foundation, and they become adults and don't know how to handle, you know, what it is, all this great wealth and just independence that comes along with it, and just all the things that comes along with wealth. And also, you know, being able to be children, but still also be CEOs. So, you know, how do you find that balance in making sure that, again, they are able to enjoy their childhood, but yet be in a position to build wealth and monetize their gifts?
So we do an annual plan, and of course we have to backwards plan it, and we break it down, you know, into quarters, our 90-day year. And from that plan, they literally run their businesses. And within that plan, they set goals, whether it be financial goals, you know, their business goals, their personal goals, then we figure out how we can put all that into that particular quarter or maybe even that particular year. And just looking at that, it helps everybody because now we know what everybody goals are, so we can motivate mm-hmm. everybody in the house. It's not just me worried about my goals and where I am financially, but them understanding financial literacy, understanding how to build wealth, and us making time to have financial Fridays. And financial Fridays in my house is sometimes my kids pay the bills so they can understand how much it costs to do what they're asking to do. They right. also
so yeah. you don't have to give the what do you think money grows on trees speech.
No, and they're not paying. Let me rephrase that. So they pay bills not with their money but with my money, but they understand.
Right, right.
Yes, but they need to understand, because then they like, dang, that costs that much. Yes. So now yes. when you ask for it, you understand it. And so it's everything from paying bills to having talks and breaking down financial literacy to maybe reading a book on financial literacy, and also going through their business, looking at their numbers, and then backing it up, looking at their goals. Do your numbers match your goals? And if not, where's the disconnect?
Right. Right. Because, you know, so many times, you know, children truly don't have a grasp on what financial literacy is. And because I know, just thinking back on my childhood, I didn't even understand what a credit card was. I thought it was this money machine. It basically, you know, you just took it to the store and it let you have whatever. And of course, then that means, you know, when I got in college and got my own credit card, yeah, you know, I ran it up quickly because I didn't understand, hey, you know, you've got to have the money to be able to pay this thing off. Yeah. And it's not free money. And I think, you know, what you have really focused upon in terms of the importance of financial literacy and not only teaching your children about it, but involving them in the bill paying process so that they, again, have this grasp of what it really means. And they're not walking around thinking, well, you know, quote, money grows on trees. And they understand yeah. how to make good decisions.
So, and you know, Stephanie, one of the reasons, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
One of the reasons it was very important for me to do that, because being in the military, having been deployed and then been on alert and standby to, you know, be deployed, you know, several other times throughout my military career, but thankfully I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Me understanding my family and understanding my family members and who would be raising my children if something should happen to me, knowing that they didn't have a good understanding on financial literacy and my children would come into this windfall of money. And I, even if whoever was keeping them or somebody took advantage of them and took all their money, they still would have the knowledge to get it back. So some of mine, far as financial literacy, was some of my, you know, my military background and my situation I was in. So I was like, let me make sure. I don't want them just to have money and leave them right. money and leave them assets. Because, you know, I've seen that as well, where the children were put in a great position. They just fumbled the ball.
Right. You know, being able to understand, you know, how to manage money and how, like you say, to keep it, but also if something happens and they don't have it, how to get it back. You know, that is something that is so important. And, you know, just the planning and foresight you had to think, well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to position my children to where I don't have to worry. And, you know, they'll be able to know how to take care of their own money.
Yeah, definitely. And you always hope, and you, but you know, at the end of the day, nobody's going to love your babies and take care of them like you would. So,
yeah, that is so true. That is
they
so
might
true.
Have great intentions and still mess the money up because they just made a mm-hmm. bad investment or a bad decision. And so, you know, putting my kids in a situation where, you know, they will be able to work for a year or 2 years on somebody's job, but then knowing how to invest that money and mm-hmm. make that compound interest work for them.
Yes. And, you know, and I love, you know, how you have made this a participative process, in that, you know, you're not just telling the kids, hey, this is what you ought to do. I love, you know, how you actively involve them in the planning, and everybody in the household understands how to help everyone else achieve their individual goals so that you're more successful as a family unit. You know, what made you think about approaching it that way instead of kind of the traditional do as I say type of approach that, you know, many times parents take?
Well, understanding a lot of times most parents teach, we tell our children what to think versus teaching them how to think. And so when I took that approach, it was hard because I was one of the children of, you know, several people, you know, several of us out here where, you know, it was do as I say, not as I do. And, you know, why did you wash the dishes this way? Why did you do it this way? It was their way or the highway. You know, I grew up in that era where I wanted my children to be so comfortable making mistakes. And my children, I mean, not my children, truth to this day, he learns by making mistakes. When he first started trading in the market, he lost $4,000. First, he made a whole bunch of money. Then he lost $4,000 and he was scared to death that I was going to yell at him or be mad. And literally, I just bust out laughing because you're going to take losses in the market. Nobody wins every trade. But he got greedy and I let him get greedy. And he lost $4,000, but that was his $4,000. So it was funny, but he was scared to death. He was ready to quit. But, you know, since then, you know, we celebrate losses. We celebrate failure just as much as we celebrate success. A lot of our families and a lot of households don't celebrate failure as much as they do success. And if we did, we would change their thought process and make them comfortable failing, but they still don't want to fail because they understand, you know, all the work that goes into, okay, we got a learning curve. It's time to get busy. We got to peel back this onion and understand why we made this, these errors and these mistakes. And let's get busy. We got work to do and it's okay.
Right. And you know, that's something that I don't think a lot of parents appreciate the importance of. And that is celebrating mistakes or celebrating failures, because it almost seems like an oxymoron. You know, why would you celebrate? But you know, it is, like you say, a way to teach your children how to use mistakes as lessons and how to take risks and not be afraid to take risks. Because certainly you don't make a seven-figure income without taking some risks. As a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you know, you've got to take some risks. So, you know, when, like in this situation that you mentioned that, you know, where he lost $4,000, I know as an adult, you know, I'd be sweating bullets myself if I lost $4,000. But how did he, you know, once he got past the fear of you being mad at him, you know, how was he able to translate that failure into future successes?
Well, he's now more, he's very conservative. And to be honest with you, that's the way he learns. He learns by failing. Even when he was speaking on stage, we did YouTube for probably at least 10 months prior to him getting on stage. And we would just make videos and post them on YouTube. And they were absolutely horrible. they were horrible. Like it would take us probably 6 hours to get a 20-second clip. Like it was horrible. It was a struggle. But being able to understand, even when you fail, if you keep trying, eventually you're going to get it and you're going to get better and better. And like I said, we celebrate it so it's not so painful, or they're not ashamed and fearful. And so when you take the shame and the fear out of it, then it's okay. I wouldn't care if my children came home with straight F's. They haven't, and I pray that they never do. But we'll sit here. We're going to peel back the onion. We're going to find out our mistakes. Was it miscommunication? Right. Did you fail to turn in homework? Did you fail to understand and didn't ask for help? Like, see, those are the things that usually kids are failing because they feel ashamed. They're embarrassed and they shouldn't be.
Right. Right. And I love how you talk about, you know, peeling back the onion, because, you know, that is certainly a way to truly learn from mistakes or failures or shortcomings, or any time you don't make your intended mark, is, you know, peeling back that onion and understanding why. And I want to go back to, you know, what you talked about where you said, you know, you many times parents will tell their children what to think rather than teach their children mm-hmm. how to think. And, you know, that is something that is so important. That's critical thinking and the ability to yes. make decisions for yourself so that one, you're not easily influenced and just do what somebody says just because they said to do it, whether that is peer pressure or an authority figure telling you something to do or telling you ought to do something, but being able to learn how to think for themselves so that they are critical thinkers, they are able to be able to come up with solutions on their own and be ultimately become more independent because they can think their way out of situations. They can think for themselves.
Yeah. And that's what entrepreneurship is. At the end of the day, you're providing a solution for somebody's mm-hmm. problem. And so you got to think about it. You got to think about the different angles, how it's going to benefit your audience, why it's going to make it easier for them. Why would they buy into your product or brand? And again, I think that's where a lot of us fail as parents is, and just as a society, because you go to church, they mm-hmm. tell you, you know, what to read, how you should think, how you should dress. School's the same way. 2 + 2 = 4. Write this essay and it should be subjective because like we're never taught how to think. We're always told what to think. And when you beat that into our head over and over, you know, for 16 years going through school, that's all you know.
Right.
And so we lose that critical thinking skill set and we wonder why our children call you when they get a flat on the side of the, you know, on the side of the highway when they have triple A, or you're like, why are you calling me? Like, what you want?
Right.
You know, I've seen that scenario so many times. It's like, your kids really called you for that? Like, what?
Yeah. Right.
They want you to think for them because you've been thinking for them. They hadn't had to think and solve any problems. You've been doing it for them. Hey, let me just call mama. She'll figure it out. Or, you know, let me call dad. He'll figure it out.
Right. You've got to equip them to be able to make their own decisions. Yeah. So, you know, this is such an interesting topic. And of course, because there's just so much to unpeel and so much to unpack. And of course, we have a limited time. But, you know, if parents want to learn more about your parenting as a prodigy, where can they find more information about these 7 pillars and learn how to parent prodigies of their own?
Sure, they can find the information at parentingaprodigy.com. Again, that's parentingaprodigy.com. And they can also reach out to me on Instagram at parentingaprodigy.
All right, well, you make it easy for them, parentingaprodigy.com. So, of course, if you have a star that you want to help shine, she has developed the blueprint for you. And all you've got to do is put those 7 pillars into place. So make sure for you mothers out there who have prodigies that you're ready to help them monetize their gifts, that you go to parentingaprodigy.com and get that info for yourself. And of course, the IG page, Parenting mm-hmm. a Prodigy, makes it real easy. So as we transition out, you know, I of course, have been further inspired by really getting an opportunity to hear how you have been able to launch your children as stars in their own right. I want to get back to you, Janelle. How are you living your life in the end? And, you know, I believe that that comes about by making what I call CEO moves. And so mm-hmm. I want other women who are listening to you to learn how they can make CEO moves of their own. And so there are 3 things I want to learn from you. Don't worry, I'll go back and repeat them so you don't have to memorize all of this. But okay. I want to, CEO moves, by the way, is who is your circle of influence? How do you empower yourself for elevation? And then how do you operationalize what you learn to optimize your outcome? So let's start with the C in CEO moves. How do you develop your circle of influence? You've alluded to it somewhat before, but How are you intentional about creating your circle of influence?
The first thing I did, and this was years back, when I was heavy on Twitter, I looked up the top 50 leaders in corporate America. I looked up the top 50 pastors in the United States, and I was looking at their moves, who they're surrounded themselves with, how they move, and, you know, how they're managing their day-to-day business, what they're tweeting about and what they're talking about, because more than likely, those are things I probably need to be paying attention to. Mm-hmm. And then also, I, of course, cleaned up my Facebook, where I disassociated, where a lot of people might see a lot of, you know, political stuff on their page, and they're fighting over, you know, Republican, Democrat, or mask, no mask, you know, all that foolishness that at the end of the day they can't control. Everybody on my timeline are high level CEOs, and they're winning, and they're making, you know, mm-hmm. used to be, you know, the goal was 6 figures, you know, a year. People are making 6 figures a day. And right. So I have them on my social media, because sometimes just what they post and how they move in and who they're associated with, it inspires me. And not only does it inspire me, sometimes it checks me, because I'm like, mm-hmm. Janelle, you need to get it together. Like, go back in your lab and get it. Like, you know, mm-hmm. So it's like, because what they're posting on social media, they, you know, it's going to make you check yourself. Don't nobody have to say nothing to you.
Right.
Ooh, okay, let me get back into the lab. And the other thing I do is I put myself in rooms where people that mm-hmm. have accomplished things that I want to accomplish. And so they're playing on a bigger playing field. And so just watching them, a lot of times they can mentor you and give you a lot of insight on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I had that conversation with my son last night. His ultimate goal and dream is to play in the NFL. So mm-hmm. I said, nobody's better in branding than Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. I said, look what he's done at Jackson State in this little bit of time. I said, go back from his post number one and go back and research everything he's done and who he's connected with. Because a lot of times people are tagging people and you just start following them, and the blueprint's right there in front of you. You just got to pay attention, and you got to want it bad enough to do the work.
Right.
So that's kind of how I find my circle and who I, my circle of influence and the people I associate and put myself around.
All right. And I love that, you know, a huge component of that is people that you don't know. I mean, people, you know, that are not immediately around you. You know, you have gone out and found, you know, with people who are doing the great things you desire to do or mm-hmm. doing great things in their own right, and following and seeing how they move so that you can learn how to make your own moves. That is certainly very smart to do. So then how do you empower yourself for elevation?
I will get in a quiet space, and a lot of time for me, that's journaling. And when I journal and get in that quiet space, a lot of times I get so many aha moments, or things come to me, and I can, if they don't come to me while I'm writing them, literally go to bed and it's like I can see a vision, or it's so much more clear the next day. And it might not be the next day, it might be the next week or two, but that helps me get my vision clear by journaling every day and just writing down what I went through and what I'm thinking and what I'm going through, because then I can go back and look at it. And sometimes it's so many pieces of the puzzle sitting right there. But had I not wrote them down, you know, we get so busy sometimes and get distracted, you forget. You're like, oh man, I remember that. And now that makes why that happened now makes sense. So for me, it's definitely journaling.
Yeah, and I always believe writing gives things significance. And I love how you use journaling not only as a way to just get your thoughts captured in writing, but to learn from your thoughts and see, you know, how you can change, you know, your behaviors, your actions going forward. So that is a great strategy. And the last thing is, you know, how do you operationalize what you learn to optimize your outcomes? Because a lot of times we learn a lot of stuff, we don't do a lot with what we know. So how do you operationalize what you learn?
Execute. The faster you execute, the less fearful you are. Because as soon as you execute and you mess up, now you have questions. intelligent questions, you can go back and ask your mentor or somebody that's done it, or you can go back and research it, whether it be YouTube or, you know, having a think tank group. But if you don't take action, you don't know what you're capable of and what you're not capable of doing. And then you're sitting there, you have all this knowledge and information, but you're not doing anything with it. And more fear is sinking into your head and more doubt. And you're just putting that out in the atmosphere and it's keeping you and getting a, you know, a tighter stronghold on you. So just execute, even if it's just a little small step, a little tiny step. Like right now for myself, just learning crypto, I know it, but it's overwhelming when you look at all the wallets, and they want it that way because it is the next wealth transfer. It's so many different wallets. Then you got to put it, you got to buy it over here, but you don't even know that you can buy it over there because you got to look it up on this platform. Then you got to buy it over here. Then you got to transfer it over here, then pay for it over here. It's just a mess. So it's not simple at all. And some of it's not simple because it's so new, but also when you're one of the first people to do it and get the information and know how to do it, when it becomes one of our main sources of income or main money, digital currency, it'd be easier for you. You'd be so much further ahead of the power curve. You won't have that fear. You won't be what that book called Who Moved My Cheese, where you're just sitting over
there. Won't be hemming and hawing.
So you'll be able to execute, and you'll be able to execute and do things that other people can't do because they're learning the basis where you're already on the next, you know, level. So you're, you know, steps ahead of them because you were one of the first adopters to, you know, just adapt and change and know that it's coming and we can't do anything about it.
Right. So sounds like, you know, one of the key things that you do is when you learn something, execute it quickly so that you don't get yourself too afraid to do anything. You don't scare yourself out of taking action. So that is a great way to approach it. So, you know, this, of course, has been a great conversation. And I tell you, you know, I was impressed with you before, but girl, I'm impressed with you on a whole nother level now that we've actually had a chance to have this in-depth conversation just about your success. And I can't wait to see where you and your two prodigies are going next. And of course, as you know, the Living Life in the And series is also a quest to find out how women can have it all. And of course, you've given us lots of clues to that as we have talked today. But over the course of this series, of my Living Leader series, I am interviewing women to have poignant conversations about how they are living their lives in the and how to really determine what a successful life means to the modern day woman. So this is a research project, Wearing a Fabulous Conversation. And each time I pose the same set of questions to the women I interview to get their definition of success. And when I get all of these interviews compiled, I will be able to glean into what women want in their lives and how they go to get it. So I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and you don't need to overthink it. There are no right or wrong answers, but I just want you to be thoughtful in your response, and I look forward to hearing what you have to say. Are you ready for this part of this final part of this research project fashioned as a conversation?
Absolutely.
All right. So here's the first question. What does femininity mean to you?
Walking in your purpose and loving yourself the way you see fit, not how other people say you should love yourself or doing what you want to do. That's how I say feminine, because, you know, it has so many, it's so deep. It has so many different layers to it.
Okay. The second question is, what does feminist mean to you?
Wow. I would just say women that are strong in their beliefs, and to stick up for other women that believe that our voice should be heard just like everybody else's. I kind of leave it at that, kind of generic, because I literally, my other degrees in psychology, we had a whole class. Yes.
Yes. So kind of as a follow-up to that is, do you perceive feminists as positive or negative?
It can be both. It can be either. Not, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It depends on your perception. Some people think feminist is negative because they think it's all about women and taking away men's right and trying to make men be beta males versus alpha males and not accepting mm-hmm. them for who they are. So in that light, it can be seen as negative, and it can also be seen as positive, just saying, hey, we want our voices to be heard and we want to level the playing field as well.
Okay. All right. So the next question is, what are the characteristics of a good woman?
Wow. I would say somebody that unapologetically loves themselves. Somebody that's authentic, that's loyal, and that can truly walk in her truth, know what she wants, and can stand in it, and know how to show that love and share that light with others around her.
Okay. All right. What would you say are the characteristics of a good mother?
A good mother. Unconditional love, support, leadership, and just being firm.
Okay. All right. What are the characteristics of a good leader?
A good leader is somebody that can roll their sleeves up and be an Indian and don't mind following as much as they love leading.
All right. So what does it mean to you to have it all? If you were to describe what have it all means, what does that mean to you?
To me, to have it all will be to be mentally healthy, physically healthy, spiritually healthy, have people around you that generally want to see you win, that love you, be at a, have a peace of mind, and have your level of success and not be trying to compete with anyone else, whatever success looks like for you, doing that and working towards it. You don't have to have achieved it, but you're working towards it and you know it's achievable. That's having it all.
Okay. Do you think women can have it all?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Again, I would say always ask for help. Don't be fearful or be ashamed. And you'd be surprised at how many people love mentoring and will be happy to assist and help you along your journey.
All right. What does fulfillment mean to you?
Achievement. I think I feel the most fulfilled when I've achieved something, no matter how big or small. Yeah, I kind of leave it there. Yeah, that's fulfillment for me, achieving something right. that I work for.
All right. And then the last question, what does a successful life mean to you?
Living life on your terms, not taking no as an answer, being optimistic and putting in the work of, you know, sticking to your gut and what you know you're supposed to do, walking in your purpose and going after it every day. Will you be able to give 110 every day? No, but as long as you do something that makes you better and puts you in a better position than you were the day before, I think that's success.
All right. Well, Janelle, I tell you, like I said, you know, I was impressed with you before. I'm impressed over the top with you and just so grateful to have this opportunity to share all of your great wisdom with women who are who are committed to living their life in the end. And so I thank you so much for joining me, and I appreciate you sharing so openly.
Yes. Thank you for having me again. It was a blessing. It was an honor. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity, and I definitely enjoy speaking with you again as well.
All right. Well, you know, we've got to catch up in person now that you are here in Atlanta. So I really, really, really am looking forward to reconnecting and just being in your circle and learning from you, because that's what living life in the end is all about, is positioning yourself for greatness by surrounding yourself with great people. So thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Well, I hope that all of you have enjoyed listening to this Living Lita's conversation. I tell you, there were so many gems dropped in this short period of time. And we could go on and on and on, but as you know, all great things come to an end. Not really, they just transform into something else. But as always, as you've listened, I hope you felt something, that you were motivated and inspired. I hope you learned something, that you were educated on living your life in the and. But most of all, I hope that now you will do something. And as Janelle shared, do something quickly so that you don't scare yourself out of taking action. Because whether you report to a CEO or whether you are a CEO of your own business, you are always the CEO of you, which means you can capitalize on your most powerful asset, which is the power of choice, the power to create extraordinary outcomes in your life, to create the life you desire and deserve. And remember, the power is not in the conversation, but in the action you take. Don't just talk about it, be about it. It is time for you to live your life in the end and go after everything you desire and deserve. Choose to live your life in the end. Hey, this is your girl, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Living Life in the End. For the woman who is set on getting everything she effing deserves. I hope you learned something, felt something, but most of all, girl, I hope you are ready to do something. Please be sure to let me know what you got out of this episode. Please subscribe so that you don't miss out on another great conversation. And of course, I'd love it if you would give us a rating and review and let me know how you are living life in the end. Because remember, life is too long to live unfulfilled. Your life is the product of your choices. Choose to commit to bringing the desires of your heart to completion. Let's get everything we deserve. Girl, let's get it.